Appreciate everybody staying with me after the close here, or almost after the close. We're going to take probably a little different avenue. I didn't get a chance to check all the presentations before me, but I suspect they're probably mostly talking about futures, not options. So we're going to take a little different angle here. If you don't know who I am, my name is Carly Garner. I am a futures and options broker. I work in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is odd for our industry. Most of the brokers are in Chicago or New York, but it's a lot warmer in Vegas than it is Chicago. If you're on social media, check us out, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We try to post relatively timely content. It's a busy day, but I like to post charts and videos and things like that. So if you're interested, check it out. I also post a lot of dog pictures. So this is your warning. If you're not a beagle lover, stay away from my pages. This is Frankie, and most people are shocked to find out that this picture was taken about 20 minutes from my house in Vegas. So Vegas isn't all deserts. We do have mountains, and that was at about 9,000 feet elevation. Again, I'm a broker, but I'm also a strategist and an author. I write for Stocks and Commodities Magazine. I provide content to Jim Cramer's Mad Money, as well as Bloomberg Television's Option Insight segment. In fact, I'm going to be on tomorrow afternoon if you have to happen to be watching Bloomberg. For our brokerage clients, I do write a couple of in-house newsletters. And I've written multiple books. If you do happen to be interested in the books and you go to Amazon, you'll see several listed, maybe 7 or 8. Don't worry about any of the others. Focus on these. The others are outdated, not a print with an older publisher. These are the newer books, all updated versions. And if you're interested, check them, obviously. They're cheapest on Amazon. That's how Amazon works. They're great. And if you want some more information on my newest book, which is Trading Commodity Options, you can visit tradingcommodityoptions.com. You'll find excerpts, sample chapters, that sort of thing. So let's get started. But before we do, I want to make sure that we all understand trading is risky. It's not suitable for everybody. In fact, most people lose money speculating in the markets. It's a lot different from investing. We're trying to beat the markets, and it's difficult to do. So let's talk about the mental side of things. Speculating is easy. It's really easy to say, I think the market's going here. And ironically, when people are just talking, they tend to be right. But when money's on the line, things are different, right? We've all experienced that. And the reason being is trading is an emotional game. On this slide, I say 95%, but let's say somewhere between 95 and 99% emotional management. It's not unlike playing sports. If you've ever played sports in your life, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter how well you hit the ball in practice. If you can't do it in a game, it just simply doesn't matter. One of my favorite quotes is, "The key to trading success is emotional discipline. If intelligence were key, there would be a lot more people making money trading." And this is absolutely true. Throughout my time in the industry, I've known some incredibly smart people, very well educated. Some of them maybe not so educated, but just extremely book smart. But trading is not necessarily something that just simply comes to those because they're smart. It has really, honestly, has nothing to do with it. In fact, maybe the smarter you are, maybe the harder it is to trade. And I know that sounds crazy, but in reality, I really think that there might be something to that. You can give two traders the exact same entry and exit signals, and you'd probably see extremely different results. And the difference is panic liquidation, the inability to respect position sizing or stop losses or whatever the case is, so on and so forth. So again, it's a mental game, not a strategy game, not a prediction game. It's a mental game. I do think that emotion is the most influential factor in trading success or failure. The inability to keep fear and greed can quickly lead to financial and psychological devastation. We've all been there. It happens. And it's important to note that trading is not a 9-to-5 hourly job. It's performance-based. You don't receive money just because you showed up. I've had people say to me things like, I stayed up all night babysitting this trade, so the market owes me some sort of profit. And that's absolutely the opposite of how you should be approaching the markets. The market doesn't owe you anything. It has nothing to do with how much time you put in or how hard you tried. I'm sure if any of you have ever paper traded, you've probably experienced that paper trading is easy. It's fun. There's very little stress involved. There's no consequences for poor decisions or for being wrong. So people tend to make a lot of money in their paper trading accounts. But then when they go to a live account, they almost see the exact opposite. For this reason, I don't think paper trading is really that useful beyond maybe 30 days or so, just to get familiar with the platforms and that sort of thing. But if you're really trying to hone in your skills, maybe try trading with micro contracts, the micro S&P, micro NASDAQ, or mini grains, something like that, a really small contract. that will get you a little bit of skin in the game. And that way you're experiencing some of the emotion that comes along with trading. So similar to paper trading, market spectators often make long-term projections that prove to be true. You know, I hear so many people contacted me when crude oil was trading at under $10 and said, duh, this is obviously a buy. But saying that and seeing crude go to $40 a few months later and actually buying crude at $10 and holding that position the entire way is a completely different thing. Trust me, if anyone's following crude, they understand what I'm talking about. In April and May, crude oil got extremely volatile, and anybody trading with stops or with an account that didn't have 20, 30 grand in it, or per one contract, I should say, or simply just couldn't take the heat, probably didn't last. So they might have had a great idea and it might have worked as far as where the market was and where it went. That doesn't mean that they made money. It's kind of an illusion, and it's really cruel. Markets are cruel. And I experience this all the time. I'm really good at calling markets, but trading them is a much more difficult game. And I think everybody experiences that. So there's a big difference between being right and making money, obviously. Even if you do accurately predict the bull or bear market with trades implemented in the intention of profiting from their insight, you might lose money. So in other words, let's say you think the S&P was going to go down when the market was trading at 3550, 3600. And let's say that you put some sort of strategy on to take advantage of that. Hopefully you made some money. I mean, you probably got a really great move, but option buyers might have given up before it actually paid off. Maybe the time value hurt them, or their option expired before the move happened. Option sellers might have been forced out on the spike higher before the market rolled over. If you've ever sold options, you know being on the wrong side of a one directional move can be painful and emotional, and a lot of people simply just can't ride on for the endurance of the trade. So again, you can be right, and you can even put on a trade that should make money and still actually lose money because of mental issues. So what we're going to talk about is, first we're going to talk about just a few little things to help calm your nerves in general, but then we're going to talk about some option strategies that will do just that. Now, there's opportunity costs trading option spreads as opposed to buying or selling futures, but I can tell you from an emotional standpoint, it's a much tamer game. And so we're going to show you how to do that, because day trading is not for everybody. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying everybody has different personalities. You have to find what works for you. Paul Tudor Jones once said, every day I assume every position I have is wrong. And I think that's a good mindset, because if you're not thinking like that, you're probably a little too confident or a little too complacent. And I can tell you one thing I've learned over and over is complacency kills in this business. So as we've been talking about, trading is a mental game of both wits and emotional stability. Not everybody is capable of that. And so if you can't control your personality, maybe you can control the type of trading that you do. Again, we're going to talk about option spreads. It's almost like a doctor or a police officer can handle certain things, but the general public can't. I could never be a nurse because I can't stand the sight of blood. Trading is the same idea. Also, if you're going to participate in the futures markets, you really need to understand that markets are mean. They don't owe us anything, and they certainly don't have to be friendly and polite. If you trade long enough, the market will make you cry. There are very few exceptions. I've seen the most macho of men sob over a bad trade, and it may not even necessarily be the financial loss. Sometimes it's just the frustration over being wrong and not being able to control the markets. Remember, we can't control the markets. We can only control ourselves. So when you're putting your trading strategy together, whether it's futures or options or something in between, expect the worst, but hope for the best. That way, before entering the market, you should assess your major areas of support and resistance, look for places to place your stops, where to sell options, where to buy options, etc. And from that, you can determine what might be the hypothetical worst case scenario. If the thought of that worst case makes your stomach churn, that trade's probably not for you. And even if it does end up panning out, you might not have been around to bear the fruits of that success, because you might have made bad decisions because you put yourself in a situation of undue stress, which leads to poor decision making and can trigger destructive behavior, such as revenge trading, trading too many contracts, having a lack of patience, etc. So this is the last quote, I believe, I promise, but this is a good one. Nothing gives one person so much advantage over another as to remain always cool, unruffled, and under all circumstances. Not only is that true in trading, but it's true in life in general. Unfortunately, it's so much easier to read this slide than it is to actually practice it in real life. We all have emotions, we all get frustrated, but we have to learn to put those on the back burner and put logic on the front burner. Staying calm in bad times and humble in good times is a very difficult skill to acquire. Most that have this ability were probably born with it. It can come through experience, but it takes a lot of experience because you're retraining your personality and your brain. That's not easy to do. But what we can control, we can't control our personalities, but we can control our environment and we can control how we react to the markets and how we approach the markets. So let's talk about using options to create an environment that works for different personalities. Most of you are probably familiar with options, calls and puts, but you've never thought of the idea that options are basically building blocks. And these building blocks can create a number of strategies with various risks and rewards. You can put an option strategy together that makes sense for somebody trading a $2,000 account, just like you can put one together that makes sense for somebody trading a $1 million account. So options are extremely versatile and they can fit any type of risk aversion or aggression that you want them to. A lot of people flock towards option buying because option buying offers limited risk and unlimited profit potential. And that statement right there is attractive to most people. It's a lot like buying a lottery ticket. You are putting up a small amount of money and you potentially could make a very large amount of money. But the reality is the odds of that occurring are not very good. Option buyers are simply gaining peace of mind, but giving up probability of success. Also, if you've ever bought an option, you know they're eroding assets. Every day that goes by, in fact, it's actually worse than that. Every minute that passes that the market doesn't move in the direction you want it to move, your option's probably slowly eroding in value. So if you're simply buying options, buying calls or buying puts to take advantage of a directional move, your timing has to be really good for you to make money on that trade, because not only does the market have to move enough to recover what you paid in premium, but it has to do so in the time frame that's allotted. And it doesn't sound like it's that difficult to pick the correct direction over the next 10, 20, 30 days, whatever the time limit is, but trust me, it's not easy. Option selling, on the other hand, puts traders in the opposite boat. The great thing about option selling is options erode. So as a seller, as time goes on, that option erosion is working in your favor. And most of the time, being a naked option seller or an outright premium collector, most of the time it will work. The problem with it is there's that low probability black swan event, or maybe even just a weird, unusual move that occurs once every 2 or 3 years that can truly ruin a trading account. So naked option selling is not something that I recommend at this time, especially in 2020. A lot of option sellers have learned some tough lessons. It's just not a strategy that has been working very well. So what we've kind of been encouraging our clients to do is trade option spreads. Takes a little bit of the best of both worlds. Traders tend to avoid option spreads because they perceive it to be too complex. It's too difficult. They don't want to take the time to learn, or they don't think they're capable of learning, but I think they're making a mistake. Option spreads seem a little complicated on the surface, but honestly, once you trade a couple spreads, it comes to you very quickly and you'll fully understand exactly what's going on. But the beauty of an option spread is a combination of long and short options enables traders to design strategies that take the net advantages and disadvantages of buying and selling options. So if you're trading a spread, now when I say option spread, I should clarify this. Today we're going to talk about butterfly spreads, but there are literally an unlimited number of spreads. I mean, you could seriously put long and short options together in an unlimited number of ways and probably come up with a name for each and every one of them. Today we're going to focus on one spread in particular, but the point is time value can work in favor of your trade or at least hedge the premium erosion, and you can adjust, you can create a spread that has unlimited risk. So that way, if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you're not going to blow up your trading account. Options can be used to reduce overall cash outflow for debit spreads. So for example, we'll show you some situations a little later in which a trader could purchase an option spread for a small amount of money or purchase an outright option for a very large amount of money. Knowing what we know about options, they're eroding assets, and the majority of them will lose value over time. It's probably better to spend less on options, correct? That's my take. So some of you might be aware of deltas. Delta is the rate of change in an option or option spread versus the rate of change in the underlying futures contract. Option spreads can be created to have any type of delta a trader wants, anything from 0.1 to 1. And what this means is, just for example, a delta of 0.5 or 50% means that if the futures market moves a point, the option spread or the option itself moves a half a point. So a trader that's trading an option spread with a delta of 0.5 has reduced the volatility of that position by 50%. And so as an option trader, you can customize your delta. You can decide how aggressive or how conservative your option spread is going to be based on which strike prices you choose, which expiration months, so on and so forth. So perhaps the lowest stress option strategy there is the butterfly. Now, before we talk about butterflies, I want to make sure you understand they're not perfect. Butterflies provide an opportunity for low and limited risk range trading in high volatility environments, but they're not perfect because they're range trades. You can be too right. If you're right in the direction, but the market goes beyond your profit range, you are right and you still lost money. Also, for a material profit to emerge, the trade must be held to almost to expiration. So sometimes you feel handcuffed in the trade. Now, that situation occurs when the market's highly volatile. In a quiet market, it's not as paralyzing. But in a volatile market, like today, for example, we have quite a few clients that had some option butterflies on in the S&P. A week ago, it looked like we were going to suffer the max loss on that spread. Miraculously, today, they all went deep into the money, and so it was great. But because the volatility was so high overnight and this morning, the profit that we were hoping we would get from the spread just simply wasn't available. But they were still able to sell the spread and make actually quite a bit of money based on what they had at risk. But a little disappointing based on the numbers we were originally getting into the trade looking at. But I'll show you an example in a minute. You might understand what I'm talking about. So the final thing is about butterflies, the maximum profit is relatively low probability. So we're going to talk about some really big numbers in a minute when we look at some examples. But the odds of the trader actually making that entire maximum profit is pretty slim because they'd have to hold it all the way to expiration. And we're talking the last minute, not the last day, but the last minute. And it's just not likely. And it's a little bit of a gamble anyways. I wouldn't suggest anybody do that because you're literally playing with fire. You could turn a winner into a loser very quickly trying to be that greedy. This is an example of what a call butterfly might look like. This is our free brokerage platform that our clients have access to. Obviously, there's quite a few other platforms available that do these sorts of spreads, but this is what this particular platform looks like. You might have something similar, but this is a call butterfly. And what that means is we're buying a call option relatively near the money usually, but it depends on how the trade is structured. So we're buying a near the money call. We're selling two out of the money calls. And then we're buying a third call to protect the risk. So because we're buying and selling the same number of calls, the risk is limited to what we pay to get into this spread. In this particular case, hopefully you can see that. So in this particular case, we're buying the 2050 call. This is in gold. So it's a 2050 call. If you bought this option alone, it would cost you roughly $4,300. That's a lot of money to spend on an option that erodes in value. And in a market like gold, if you buy a $4,000 call option and gold's down 50 bucks the next day, you've probably lost $2,000 or $3,000, to be honest. That's how quickly those options move. So perhaps a better way, or maybe not a better way, but another way to do it is to create the butterfly spread. So if we're spending $4,000 on the long call option, we're selling roughly $4,000 worth of premium because we're selling two 2150s. That basically pays for this option. So it pays for the option we're buying. But if we just left it as if we just bought one call and sold two calls, we could basically have a free trade, and that's great. But the problem with that is, especially in a market like gold, like we've seen in 2020, our risk would be unlimited to the upside because we'd be long one call and short two calls. Therefore, above 2150, we'd eventually run into unlimited risk. So if we purchase the 2250 call for 1100, we are essentially capping our risk. The net result is, this is the bid ask, by the way. I should have explained that. The net result is we should be able to get into this trade for about $1,100, $1,000 to $1,100. So our total cost and risk is what we pay to get in. So assuming we pay $1,000 to $1,100, that's it. That's the worst case scenario. Now, obviously, that's a good chunk of money. We probably don't want to do that often or make a habit of losing $1,100. But this particular trade, if I remember right, had about 40 days, 45 days in the market. So for $1,000, a gold, and that's your total risk in 2020, that's pretty good, because anyone that tried trading gold earlier this year knows that you could have made or lost $1,000 in the blink of an eye, let alone 40, 50 days. So this is what that trade would look like on a chart. Here's kind of how a butterfly works. So we bought the 2050 call. From 2050 to here, we are basically recouping the premium we paid. We paid $11 or $1,100. So basically the first $10, $11 in gold, we're just making our money back, making what we paid for the option. Beyond that, we start making money all the way up to 2150, which is where our two short strike prices are. We sold two of the 2150s. So beyond 2150, we're starting to give our profits back. And that's because we're long the 2050 call, but we're short two of the 2150s. So above 2150, we're giving back profits on the trade, because the profits on the long 2050 and the losses on one of the short 2150s basically cancel each other out, but we're short two 2150s. So again, we're giving money back. In a nutshell, what we end up with here is a trade that makes money somewhere between roughly 2060 and 2240. If the price of gold is anywhere in here, we make something. Here's the great part. If the price of gold is exactly at 2150 at expiration, now remember I said the odds of that happening aren't great. In fact, it's rather slim. But if it's anywhere in that vicinity, you'd have a nice payout. If it's exactly at 2150, you'd make $89 in gold, which is $8,900. So that's not a bad risk to reward ratio. I think we can all agree that to that. And on the other side of things, if we're wrong and gold doesn't go up, if it goes down from here, we lose our $1,100. But again, an $1,100 loss in gold in this environment is probably reasonable and probably tolerable. But if that's a little too much for you, you could do a spread that's a little narrower. So the cost would be lower and the profit zone would be lower, and it might look something like this. So this trader might have bought, this trader also bought the 2050 call, but instead of selling the 2150 call, she bought the 2100 call. I'm sorry, she sold. My fault. It's been a long day. All right, so we bought the 2050. We sold two 2100s, and then we bought the 2150 to cap our risk. So this trade, instead of costing us $1,100, this is only going to cost us $400. So this is a really great way for small traders or beginning traders to get involved, get used to seeing how option prices move, seeing how the futures price moves and it relates to the options. So this is a really good beginner's trade, because the most you can ever lose is what you pay, which is about $400. I think that's a pretty low cost of entry. Again, your spread is a lot narrower. So your profit zones from 2050 to 2150, it's only $100 range in gold. Now, if I would have said only $100 range in gold in 2019, people would have been, wow, that's a wide butterfly. That would be a great trade. In 2020, $100 in gold is pretty narrow, actually. So it just depends on your perspective. But this is still just a great way to get exposure in the market without a lot of risk. And again, the odds of you making the max profit aren't going to be spectacular, but the odds of you making something aren't too bad. We're paying $400 to get in. The max profit is $4,600. That would require that all the moons and stars align, so it's not likely. But if you picked up $1,000 to $1,500 on a trade like this, I think that'd be considered a fantastic success. Again, this is what it looks like. The first $4 of the move, we're just making our money back. Then we make money until the strike price of the two short options, and then we give it back. So as long as gold is between roughly 2054 and 2146 or so, you make something. And I think that's a trade like that is there's no such thing as an easy bet, but it's reasonable. This is obviously in an uptrend here. I mean, this is a few months ago and we all know what happened since. So it is what it is. But if you see a market moving that high and you have the opportunity to put on a $400 trade, that's probably not a bad idea, just to have a foot in the door. Remember, you have to be in it to win it. If you're not in it, you obviously can't win. But if you're trying to buy a futures contract here and you do happen to be wrong, the downside is spectacular. Also, if you're trying to buy a call option, we pointed out before, the 2050 call option around this time was trading at $4,000. So if you spend $4,000 on a call option after a rally like this and you get a couple down days, that call will literally disintegrate in front of your eyes. So you don't want to do that. Of course, this strategy can also be done with puts in this exact same manner. A put, this is, if you've ever spoken to an option trader, he'll actually call this a put fly. So if you hear somebody say a call fly or a put fly, they're talking about butterflies. This is a put butterfly. The trade is purchasing the 1850 put, which if you purchase that alone would cost roughly $2,200, selling two of the 1800 puts and then buying a 1750. Again, once you net all this out, remember we're buying one, selling two, and then buying one, the total cost is about $500. So this is a lot like the trade we just looked at before on the call side of the market. For $400 or $500, you get into a position where you can make roughly $4,500. Again, I'm trying to be as honest as possible. The odds of you making $4,500 are very slim. If you've been following gold this year, you know we've seen some wild days. Some days gold moves 50 to 100 points in a single day. So if that's the case, if your profit zone is 1800 and coming in on the day of expiration, the market's right at 1800, that doesn't mean 7-8 hours down the line when that option actually expires, the gold's still going to be at $1,800. It might be 1850. Maybe it's 1750. And if that's the case, the spread that you had deep in the money and near your maximum profit zone would actually be worthless. So as enticing as it is to hold on to the very last minute, if you spend $500 on a trade and you can pull out a nice profit, $1,000, $1,500, somewhere in there, just take it. It's not holding out for that extra, well, it is a lot of money, but trying to hold out for the extra $3,000, it seems worth it because it's only a few hours, but there's a really good chance you turn a winner into a loser. When you get down to option expiration, volatility sometimes can get out of line and it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Fundamentals don't matter. Charts don't matter. People are trying to square positions going into option expiration, and that's really their only focus. Even price doesn't matter sometimes. So this is what it might look like to trade a put fly in gold. Now, obviously, we're looking at a market here that's been all over the place, volatility in both directions. Where it goes from here is anybody's guess. I personally believe that gold and silver have seen their highs for the year and maybe even for more than that, maybe for a couple of years. But I know that's not a popular opinion, but it is what it is. I've been following these markets long enough to know that when everybody gets that excited over the metals, they generally have a hard time holding gains. And so we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be shocked to see gold and silver really just come back and give back most of these gains. And this is why I put this as an example. Let's say that you agreed with that theory and you did think gold would come back down to basically where we started, which is in the 1800 area. Probably not going to be a horrible idea to throw a trade like this out there just in case. Again, going short a futures contract at 2000 or 2050 is pretty exciting because if you're right in that situation, you might pick up $20,000. But what if you're wrong and you lose 10 grand or more? So this is a $500 entry fee. And maybe if everything goes perfect and there's some luck involved, you might pick up 4,600. So you can imagine how the mental aspect of a trade like this is going to be far different than trading a futures contract. If you're trading a futures contract, not only do you have to have the guts to go long or short, but your timing's got to be pretty good or you're going to see an immediate drawdown. Also, you're going to have to figure out where to put your stop loss. Normally, I would say I'm not a fan of stops. I think stops do more harm than good in many cases. I often advise people to at least consider purchasing options instead. So for example, if you go long a futures contract, buy a put option to protect it, or if you go short, buy a call option to protect it. But in this environment of volatility in the metals, that's impossible. In fact, you're almost guaranteeing yourself a loss because the options are so expensive that you'd be spending, even if you're right in the direction, you'd have to spend so much money on your option to insure it that you probably wouldn't come out ahead. So what I was telling my clients in 2020 in gold and silver, everybody wanted to be involved, but the reality is, unless you have a large account and your timing's pretty good, you probably have more of a chance to lose money than make money. So I told people their goal should be to not lose their shirt. And if you can come out of it without total devastation, you're doing better than a lot of people. Because when gold and silver start moving that quickly, that's exactly what happens, unfortunately. I hate to see that, but that's just unfortunately the reality. So again, we talked about the mental aspect of this. If you put a trade like this on, you probably are going to sleep really, really well at night. You're not going to make 20 grand like you might make with the futures, but you don't have to worry about the stress of a big ding to your trading account or placing your stop and getting stopped out right before the market actually goes the way you wanted to. And that's even worse, right? If you've ever been stopped out prematurely, what happens? People try to chase the market. And so they get back in and they place a new stop and then it happens again. And then maybe they get back in with twice the position size and then it happens again. So even though you were right, you might end up losing a ton of money just because of being stopped out prematurely. In a trade like this, you're not going to really experience many emotions at all. It either works or it doesn't. It's not going to keep you up at night. And that's that. So we've already talked about how trading is a mental game. So this is a way of taking the mental anguish out of trading. Now, again, not everybody has the personality for this either. Some people just find this completely boring, or they just can't stand the fact that they don't have that much control, because again, you almost have to hold these to expiration. You can't get in and out within a day or two. It just doesn't work that way. So some people have personalities that don't work well with this strategy, but some of you might have not been introduced to something like this, and maybe it'll click. Maybe something like this might work for your personality. So just keep that in mind. All right, sorry about that. I was trying to, hopefully we have some questions. I guess this class took me a little less time than I thought it would, but I do have just some final notes. So the whole point of this presentation, if you haven't grasped it, or if I haven't explained it well enough, is trading is a mental game. The best way to put yourself in a situation to make the best decisions is to put yourself in an environment in which the stress is mitigated. So if you're trading option spreads, or specifically butterflies like we talked about, or even vertical spreads or anything like that, the reality is you are going to mitigate your profit potential, probably. You're going to mitigate the excitement, but you're also going to mitigate the emotions that come with trading. And that actually will hopefully promote better decision-making, because it's really hard to make good logical decisions when you're in a trade and it's going poorly and you're stressed out. Options are building blocks. They can be built and taken apart piece by piece to create the desired risk and reward profile. And ideally, this will mitigate your emotional turmoil and your bad decision-making. So for example, in those butterflies that we were just showing, you don't have to keep them fully intact. I know I kind of said that. If you keep it fully intact, you kind of have to wait to expiration, but you can peel them apart. You don't want to peel the long options and leave a naked short. So be careful. Make sure you understand what you're doing. If you don't, talk to your broker. But you can peel off half the trade. So let's say, for example, you put on the gold call butterfly and gold collapsed. And it came to a situation where the two short options that you would use to finance your long options were really cheap. In fact, maybe let's say they're $100, $200 a piece. You might actually consider buying those options back and holding on to your long calls. That way, if gold does recover, you've got a chance to, number one, have unlimited profit potential on the upside if gold really makes a move, or two, at least work your way out of those a little more easily. So it's not impossible to adjust these trades. Just keep an open mind. I talk a lot about this in my book if you are interested in exploring that sort of thing. Options are great because you can build them any way you want on the way in, but you can also peel them apart on the way out. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. So as we mentioned before, in trading, you have to be in it to win it. And thinking outside of the box can really go a long way toward keeping a foot in the door with an acceptable amount of risk and hopefully a lower level of stress. So I appreciate your support. I appreciate everybody coming out, and I appreciate being invited to participate in this event. It's been awesome. If you are looking to learn more about trading options and futures on options, please visit our website, decarlytrading.com. Again, we are a brokerage service. But we do have a lot of educational material on our website. Our goal is we want people to know what exactly they're getting into before they actually put their money on the line. And if you're interested in learning more about our latest book, go to tradingcommodityoptions.com. This book was released in July, so it's hot off the press and it's priced to move. It's only $20 for the hard copy. And to be honest, it's a $40 book. It's 380 pages of hopefully good information. Here's my contact information. If I missed anything, or if you have any questions? I do have a couple minutes, so if anybody has questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Okay, somebody's asking to see the last two slides. Sure, let me scroll back. Are we talking about the last two trading slides? Okay, so somebody's asking what time frame are we looking at when we trade options? I mean, the reality is it depends on the situation. Sometimes we're looking at daily charts. Sometimes we're looking at weekly charts. To be honest, I always kind of start on the monthly chart. Then I look at the weekly chart. Then I go to the daily chart. So I'm looking at all three. The primary decisions are probably made on daily, but I think it's a good idea to look at all three. Okay. So the last two slides, I guess we're talking about this here. So the name of the book is Trading Commodity Options, and it actually covers a lot of the things that we talked about today, but it goes into a lot more detail, and it talks about quite a few other strategies, both long option and short options. The options that we are a futures and options on futures firm, so we don't deal in stock options. We do deal in like e-mini S&P options, e-mini NASDAQ options. So it's a little different than the SPX or the SPY, but similar idea. Somebody's asking if you can do butterfly spreads on weekly options. Technically, you can, yes. You're probably only going to get away with that in maybe the S&P and only with the volatility as high as it is right now. If we're talking like January 2020, when the VIX was at 12 or 13, whatever it was, you probably would have had a really hard time getting off any butterflies in that market that made sense, especially with the weekly options. So the great thing about this high volatility environment is you can get butterfly spreads off that are pretty attractive, and you could do it even with short time frames.